To inform all participants, this conference is being recorded. You may begin.
Thank you, Bobby. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's Consumer Metrics Project discussion call on Tuesday, the 12th of July. We have Alex Gokuru, Carlos Aguirre, Steve Del Bianco, Olivier Cretan-Leblanc, Rosemary Sinclair, who's just disconnected again, Jonathan Robinson, Wendy Seltzer, Jonathan Zook. From staff, we have Liz Gaster and myself, Gisela Gruber, and we have apologies from John Barrett, Bo Brendler, and Tim Ruiz. If I could also please just remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Unfortunately, Rosemary hasn't connected again, so we may just need to wait a couple of seconds until she comes back on the call. Margie Milam has also just joined the call. Welcome, Margie.
Hi.
We're just waiting for Rosemary. I've done the roll call. We've started the recording, and Rosemary has not reconnected. She's having connectivity problems.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not on Adobe Connect right now, so I'm just going to listen in.
Lovely. In the meantime, Deborah Hughes has joined, and so Seth Green from staff. Thank you.
Okay.
I'll let you know as soon as Rosemary's back online.
Okay.
And Margie, I'm on too. It's Liz.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Hi, Liz.
Hey, Margie. This is Debbie. I'm actually traveling. Oh. I have the document printed, but I won't have access to any email or anything that's online, okay?
Okay. Okay.
Rosemary, welcome back.
Thank you, Gisela.
Just to say, I've done the roll call. If I can just remind you, as I said when I did the roll call, if you could all please state your names when speaking. It is for transcript purposes. Thank you, and Michael Salazar has just joined us as well. Thank you. Over to you, Rosemary.
Great. Okay, well, we've got the agenda in front of us, and I wonder if we could go to the second item, which is a schedule for future calls. I'm going to suggest every 2 weeks, but what do others think about that? So shall we go? Oh, Steve's typing. 2 weeks. Okay. So would everybody be happy if we schedule for every 2 weeks? Understanding, of course, that not everybody is going to be able to join every time. And I think we're getting a comment from Wendy.
I was just asking Wendy was going to ask whether we really think we need to meet that frequently, but with your comment on. Everybody may not be able to join every time. Perhaps that's a mitigation.
Yes. So, we'll just try it, Wendy, and I guess if we find that 2 weeks is really too frequent, then we can change our approach. But I think if we put it in place for every 2 weeks, then certainly people like me can just work around that then. So shall we try that? Okay, so we've got a little bit of support in the chat for that, so let's try that. And does this time suit everyone who's on the line, or is there someone that we're really making life very difficult for? Multiple, not great. All right. Well, why don't we adopt the approach of... shifting the timing a little bit, but manageable. Yeah. Okay, Gisela, I wonder if I could ask you, and tell me if I'm not asking the right person, to just suggest different times every second Wednesday so that everybody gets a fair share of the rotten times.
Yes, sorry, Gisela here. Every second, yes, Wednesday for you, sorry. Yes, Rosemary.
Yes,
Doodle poll and clearly state to please choose times, and then what I suggest is one, if people agree to that, then one Tuesday we can have it at this time, and then 2 weeks later we can have it at another time. I'll sort that out.
Fine. Okay. All right. Thanks for that. Now, schedule for document preparation. Again, I just wanted to have a broadish discussion here. I have been thinking that where we need to go with this is to get a document which actually collects thoughts and various perspectives. In my other life, I would call that a discussion paper. In an ICANN life, I think I call that an issues paper. But I'm not really sure, and I'm really looking for guidance. My own sense is that we need to have a discussion before we get into a formal process of advice back to the board. But I'm really open to other people's views on this.
Hi, Rosemary. Cheryl here. Sorry I joined late.
Hi, Cheryl. Welcome.
Thank you.
Rosemary, Steve DelBianco for a question.
Hi, Steve. Yeah.
So you were asking about the document, and if we work backwards from our end result would presumably be a written response to the board's resolution question to the four different ACSOs.
Yes.
And you're right, that would be working backwards. So it would be answering the question about definitions with the second section with potential metrics.
Mm-hmm.
But I am cognizant of the fact that the four ACNSOs involved here, it's really three because the GAC may not participate.
Yes.
We will be submitting this draft set of responses to the board to each of our respective ACSOs, and presumably those councils would then endorse, modify, or otherwise amend, and then forward it on to the board. So our working group itself wouldn't necessarily submit the document to the board. It would be presumably from the ALAC, CCNSO, and GNSO. Did you have that in mind?
Yes. That's what I had in mind. I suppose the alternative is that you have a document and then we get a cross-community working group which winds up making the same recommendations, again in my parlance, to the various entities, GNSO, CCNSO, ALAC, and it advises GAC about what we're thinking, I guess. And then either people accept the recommendations or they go their separate paths. So I think we get to the same point, Steve, where you've got formal advice from the GNSO and formal advice from, well, recommendations perhaps from GNSO, formal advice from ALAC and GAC. But this is what I'm struggling with a bit, just how to do this, since the board has asked all the four entities to respond.
Hey, Rosemary, this is Michael Salazar. I have a question or a comment.
Sure.
So in terms of the timing, and I've looked at the agenda here and some of the comments that have been posted, is there a thought that we're going to capture metrics on the evaluation process, so how many applications were evaluated, were they done on time, et cetera? If they are, then I would need to know that because I'd have to make sure that I built that into the program prior to launch.
Rosemary, this is Steve DelBianco, if I might be able to respond.
Sure. Thank you.
Hey, Michael, that's a great question. That's the whole point of metrics is if we know what they are ahead of time, then management tries to behave in a way that meets the metrics. But in this case, it's probably premature to say that we'd have metrics about the evaluation process. But if we did, it'd be essential that your process captured data on the nature and origin of all the applications that come in, and then we would be able to track the data on which applications are approved and which are rejected, which survive through contention. I think all of that data would be collected and transparently available just as part of your evaluation process. I can't imagine us needing data that isn't already going to be captured.
So if I can respond,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Steve. I think there's a lot of data that we will capture, but I'm wondering if, as in looking at the program and the applications that will come in, if I can maybe start thinking about some of the other metrics that might be useful, at least propose them. We can decide whether or not we think they're going to be useful, but or whether or not they'll ultimately be approved. But if I've at least proposed them, I can, you know, it may not be a stretch for me to build in ways to capture that information. And then again, we at least have it available so that if we decide we want to report on it, that we can so easily.
Well, then, Michael, I would suggest making sure that when your applications get logged, that you have an attributes that you can indicate for each application. The attributes could capture concepts of consumer choice. For instance, linguistic community, yes or no. IDN script, yes or no. Particularly a targeted regional community, yes or no. So those would be attributes of an application that would later point to the fact of how broad a set of choices of TLDs were solicited during the application process.
And I think we can do that. And again, I could probably take some guidance from the comments that are included in this agenda to maybe start thinking about what some of those are.
So this is Wendy, and I think that it's great to have you participating in the discussion. I think it's way premature for us to be suggesting particular attributes that should be logged.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, and I think Steve's right, though. A lot of them we'll just be able to back into pretty easily.
Okay, so Rosemary again. So can we just go back then to this issue about our process, I guess? And I note a comment from Alex that perhaps what we're talking about is an issues paper rather than an issues report. Liz, could you explain to me the specific meaning of an issues report?
Well, sure. An issues report refers to a report in the bylaws, in Annex A of the bylaws that govern the GNSO, that is a paper that the staff writes. And it's a paper on a particular, you know, problem that's been identified or issue that the community wants reviewed. And in the bylaws in Annex A, there are specific requirements for what an issues report is supposed to address, like whether the issue's in scope and those kinds of things. But it's directly something staff produces on a as a preliminary step on a policy issue. Typically, it's done at the request of the council, and it usually precedes a official policy development process. So in this case, we have something a little different. We have the board requesting advice from a number of SOs and ACs on definitions and metrics, you know, for a new program. That is not so this is not a PDP in the sense that we're developing recommending a new policy that would be, you know, applicable to registrars and registries or applicable to ICANN, where, you know, you all are recommending potentially definitions and metrics. I think what is relevant is that it's a working group that needs to operate under a charter or under, you know, an understanding of what the goals and the assignments are and, you know, have that approved by your sponsoring organizations, you know, before it goes to the board as advice. That's different from a PDP per se. And so the work product of this group as a working group, whether it's chartered by the GNSO and just has participants from other organizations involved or whether it's chartered by multiple organizations and so you go back to your organizations and approve the charter that comes out of this group, that Margie's on the line too, and, you know, that's something for you all to discuss and for us to, you know, add value as we can. But I think you want to just stay away from that terminology because, you know, if you're talking about a report of the working group's, you know, views on what the definitions should be and the metrics should be, you are talking about more of a discussion paper or working group report. And I don't want to, you know, to the degree you can distinguish it from an issues report, that means something qualitatively different. I just think that'd be less confusing for the community, where, and also, you know, different rules when it's a PDP apply that don't really govern this group. I hope that's helpful.
Okay. So coming out of that are two ideas. One, that our document is a working group report, and then the second is the question of whether we need to go back to GNSO, ALAC, CCNSO, and I'm not sure what our process is with GAC, but including them for the moment, to get a charter for this group. So I'm wondering what other people think about that.
Rosemary, it's Steve Delbion, if I get in the queue.
Sure. Is someone managing the queue? Where am I looking? I can't see a queue on my screen. Sorry about this.
It should be on the right-hand side where it says participants.
Right. Yeah, I've got attendees, participants. I'm not seeing any hands in my right-hand side. Anyway, Steve, I think, is first in the queue. Can anyone else see the queue, Gisela or Liz?
No.
Jonathan Robinson has his hand raised.
Now I've got Jonathan Robinson in the queue. Okay.
And I wasn't speaking. I'm just actually showing you my hand raised.
Thank you. Thank you, Jonathan.
Cheryl.
Cheryl's in the queue as well?
I'd like to be.
Rosemary, while you're taking people in the queue, just so, you know, the charter can be written by this group, you know, and you can go back to make it simpler that this group is already designated as, you know, responsible for this matter, and you can define how you think it should work and then just go back to your organizations for their review and approval. It doesn't have to come from them technically. And I just mentioned that while you pick up on the queue.
Sure. Okie doke. Well, Steve. Okay, now I've got Steve in the queue. Great. Thank you, everybody, for your patience with me on this. Steve.
Thank you. The resolution that the board adopted asks of us, they didn't ask us to do policy. They didn't ask us to do a report. They asked us for advice. That's the word they used. I guess that's coming off of the fact that the GAC is one of the four folks that were asked. They asked us for advice on definition of metrics. And all the whereases before that resolution cited the affirmation of commitments and the requirement that a review be conducted of the new GTLD program, you know, a year after its launch. So it was meant to be asking for advice about definitions of metrics in anticipation of the fact that the board and the GAC will create a review team a year after new GTLDs are launched for the purpose of evaluating consumer trust, consumer choice, and competition. So this is somewhat different for us in the sense that I guess if we were in the GAC, the GAC is often asked for advice, but for the three of us in the ALAC, the CCNSO, and the GNSO, I guess it's somewhat unique in that we're being asked for advice. And so therefore it doesn't have to fit into the PDP process or an issues report process. It's really just advice, and that's why it has to pass through the endorsing bodies of the CCNSO Council, the GNSO Council, and the ALAC. Thank you.
Okay, so from your point of view, well, if we take GNSO as a model, what we've done in GNSO is we've got this particular topic as a pending project, and every time we have a GNSO Council meeting, I update people on where we are. So I guess from that point of view, our process is underway, we could, when we get our advice document, then I think go back to GNSO for a discussion about whether the council as a whole agrees with that advice and is happy for that to go back to the board as the GNSO advice. So I'm still grappling with this question of whether others think we need to go through a more formal, and in that sense, I guess, more usual chartering process, or whether because we've got a board resolution asking for advice on a matter that is in the affirmation of commitments, and therefore a board governance issue, I guess,
whether we can proceed to the issues report, advising our entities. So are there other views on what we need to do next in terms of just proceeding with the work or going back to our organisations for a charter?
Are we going down the list, Rosemary?
I can't see the list, Cheryl. In terms of hands up, queue?
Who's next on the queue, whoever can see?
I can't see any hands in my queue. But, so who... Can somebody see the queue?
I can't see any hands either.
I see no hands.
Well, now I'm in the room, I'll put my hand up, shall I?
Thank you, Cheryl. Yes, you're next.
Yes, and I didn't think Rosemary, who couldn't see the queue, was going to be the only keeper of that information.
Yes, sorry. Okay, Cheryl.
Thank you. The Epilogue Advisory Committee gives advice to the board all the time. This is something we're terribly familiar with and are more allied to GAC, excepting we work professionally, and the GAC tends not to. So we're very comfortable with giving advice. If I may speak on behalf of those who've been in discussions within the at-large community on this issue, is the somewhat thornier issue of whether these things are done in any form of coordination, jointly or severally. Because, for example, if we were to have the wider participation in a duly chartered GNSO work group, we would traditionally, and in this case certainly, want to follow our practice of trying to get multi-regional and community representative in from the edges, which is a vastly different thing from creating advice from a 15-person ALAC, which may or may not go through different types of mechanisms, ranging from putting up a wiki page and say, come and play, through to something far more familiar and similar to a piece of policy development that the GNSO world would be more used to. In other words, we would make our own work group, et cetera, et cetera. So I just want to be really clear that at the outset, we try and get some level of macro coordination, so at least the component parts, the ACs and the SOs who've been specifically, and it appears severally, asked to contribute to this advice, may do minimum amount of volunteer exhaustion and maximum frustration as well, and maximum amount of intelligible and useful input in as timely a way as possible. That said, I'm sure we can do it. But as Rosemary's just outlined, GNSO is pottering along in a set of processes and mechanisms that they are very comfortable with. It could be all nigh foreign to the GAC world, and I know there's been frustrations getting GAC involvement before. At least the at-large community, who I would trust the influencing the ALAC, which is, please kind of think of the ALAC like the council, and the at-large community, the regions being your constituencies and the at-large community being those members of the constituencies, that might help the mindsets, I think, would be able to make their contributions. But if we're all tripping over each other, we need to know early. I'm not suggesting which way we go, but I am suggesting that there might be benefits in choices we're about to make. Thank you. I'll put it down.
Thanks, Cheryl. Does anyone else want to contribute to this? I'm still, I guess, stumbling, but at the moment I think we've got GNSO and ALAC preferring, thinking that an appropriate process is for this group to get going with the discussion on the topics and going through a process of advising, and I'm just for the minute going to concentrate on GNSO and ALAC, after each discussion or whenever we report back to our committees and organisation, advising of progress, and at the end of that, producing a document from this working group. Rather than, yes, sorry, Steve?
Yeah, Rosemary, it's Margie. I wanted to be in the queue when you have a chance.
Oh, thanks, Margie. Hi. Okay, Steve, I've got Steve, Olivia, and then Margie in the queue. Yep. Steve?
Yeah, it would seem as if for purposes of the ALAC, CCNSO, and GNSO, our charter, we would offer them a draft charter, which is verbatim the board resolution, but we'd have to tack on to that sort of a process recommendation. The process recommendation could be that it would be an open working group, that it would have conference calls every 2 weeks, and that at some point we have to determine our timing, but at some point we would produce a document, and it may or may not have minority sections to it, and that documents would be then forwarded to the three HCSOs so that they could endorse. So that would that would take the place of sort of our working charter. I guess we would have to, I suppose we could offer that charter to the CCNSO, the ALAC, and the GNSO, and ask them to endorse that charter so that we would have a single charter for this joint working group. That has the risk that the charters could splinter if if they wanted to add more or detract from it. But it's hard to detract from a skeletal, simple charter like that that is based almost entirely upon a board resolution that was unanimously adopted. In other words, we don't add to that resolution. We simply repeat the resolution and indicate a willingness for this volunteer group to get started on a document that can be shared with the three ACSOs. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Olivier?
Thank you very much, Rosemary. And I wanted to echo what Steve just said. I think we need, we definitely need a charter. And I wanted to echo also what Cheryl said earlier. We're not just 15 individuals or on the ALAC. We're actually a wider group than that.
We
and, are. Of course, we're 15 on the ALAC. We're not 15 individuals at large.
Yes.
And on top of that, we're not just, I don't know how many we are today on the call, but it's not just us, but it's also a lot of people behind. So we definitely need a charter. I would say if the GNSO can come up with one, we'd be very happy to look at it. And certainly if we believe that any extensions need to be done to the charter, I hope that these suggestions would be taken positively by the GNSO. We could just add a few more things, but I think it's pretty clear what the board wants. So we'll take it from there. Thank you.
Okay, good. And Margie, I think.
Thank you, Rosemary. I wanted to talk about the end product, I guess, and what it's called, and wanted to echo what Liz had mentioned about probably steering away from using the word issue report. And I also wanted to suggest a format, since it is a response to the board request, that the format of the product could be simply a letter to the chairman, responding to the resolution, and then the body of the letter has the recommendations. In other words, it doesn't have to be as formal as a traditional working group report because it isn't to the board. And that approach was adopted in the past. For example, when the STI group made recommendations based on the IRT work, that I think was in the form of a letter. So that's just my comment that, you know, it could be as simple as that. I do agree with the comments that you probably have to go back to the charting organizations to get their endorsement, but you don't have to be so formal on the end product.
Did the STI go back to their respective ACSOs?
I believe in that case it did. I'd have to look at my notes, but I think that's how it went back. Like I recall the GNSO Council actually approving the STI recommendations, and I believe it at large did as well.
Okay, so let me have a go at summarizing that. We're going to develop a charter based very much on the board resolution and take that back to the ACs and SOs for their endorsement.
then we're going to form a working group to work on the definitions, the metrics, and we've not mentioned, but the third element was some sort of goal-setting process. So we will wind up with some document from that working group process, and that document would then, and perhaps we need to be clear on this, that document would then go back to the ACs and SOs for endorsement, and then the last step is the letter. And I guess we're back to the point of do we have a go, our working group have a go at drafting a letter for the ACs and SOs, or do we leave that to each individual group once they've got our working group report? Or do we think about that a bit later?
I'd be thinking, Cheryl here, I'd be thinking about that a bit later, Rosemary, because what concerns me is getting the horse well and truly behind the cart otherwise.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, let's just list somewhere that at the right time we've got to have a discussion about that very last step of how our work gets back to the board. Now, in terms of the charter, how about if I have a go at just taking that, and I don't even know if I've got enough time to get that before the next GNSA Council meeting, which is on the 21st of July. Is anybody able to quickly advise me about that?
That's correct, Rosemary. I think the 21st is right.
Yes, and in terms of taking a proposed charter back to council, I guess it's not a motion, is it? It would be a motion because we would want them to accept that. I'm just not sure where the timelines are up to. I think motions have got to be there 8 days. So I guess if I got my skates on...
I don't think it needs to be an official motion necessarily. I think
right.
Charter, for them to review it, they may be able to just review it online also.
Mm-hmm.
Not hold up work.
Okay.
Charter to be approved, especially if it sticks, you know, closely to what the board indicated. You can probably safely move ahead within those, you know, by seeing if you can just, you know, add it to the other any other business.
Yep.
I mean, it, few days in advance.
Okay. So I'll undertake to do that for the GNSO meeting of the 21st of July. Cheryl in chat is suggesting that we think about other dates. Cheryl, do you just want to... I'll go back to Steve, who's got his hand up. Mm.
Thanks, Rosemary. Cheryl, for the record, assuming we're doing one. I'm just thinking, knowing when the ALAC meeting will help... We run on the fourth Tuesday of the month, but we also need to be cognitive of the CCNSO meetings.
Yes.
And this month, CCNSO is, I believe, meeting on the 19th, which would mean that's a little early compared to the current work plan if you're going to try and get something out for the GNSO Council meeting, which would fit, by the way, then for the next ALAC meeting perfectly well.
So
we will be looking at the August CCNSO meeting, and I'll check, but I believe, yes, that is August 9th. So those dates aren't all that spread apart. So the last possible date there would be August 9th, and a little coordination. Gabby, Christina and or Bart would be able to get that on the Leslie's agenda, I'm sure. But it would be good to interact with Leslie because the working mechanism, as I'm sure your GNSO liaison to the CCNSO will tell you, is that they usually do a small draft committee and sub out the ownership to small groups. So with those dates in mind, I'm not overly fearful that we will trip up as long as we don't slip beyond your GNSO meeting fixed for this month.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay,
Rosemary, this is
yes.
This is Jonathan Zook, and I'm happy to help. Since time is tight, I'm happy to help with the charter drafting if that would be helpful to you. I'll connect with you offline.
Okay, thanks, Jonathan. Steve, you were in the queue?
Thanks, Rosemary. With respect to the timing, again, we're talking about a charter that's largely the board resolution, verbatim,
mm-hmm.
with some tacked-on mm-hmm. process proposals as to the frequency of meetings, target dates, and the end result, as well as the process for having the AC's SOs approve the advice before it goes to the board. And that, mm-hmm. I believe, will be what most of our ACSO officers will like the most. They'll like the fact that a self-formed working group is not endeavoring to write a letter back to the board directly, but to route its advice through the three respective groups that were requested by the board. And mm-hmm. given that, it's a relatively lightweight doc, and I think you and Jonathan could easily whip it up, but mm-hmm. there's probably no rush to get it through GNSO next Thursday, the 21st, given that CCNSO is August the 9th, and I didn't hear yet, maybe Cheryl can tell us, when is the ALAC next meeting so that it could consider such a charter? Thank you.
If I can answer that, our next meeting for the ALAC is the 26th of this month.
And when is your next meeting after that, Cheryl?
It would be the fourth Tuesday of the following month, which would be the 23rd of August. Now, if we're slipping to the 23rd of August, that does start to make me feel a little more nervous.
Well, we do have a little bit of a window here because, again, applications will not even be accepted until January 2012.
Sure.
Right, right. And I'm not saying that we don't do the work of starting to discuss definitions and metrics. We would want to proceed down that path. But we want the same charter to be shown to CCNSO, ALAC, and GNSO, and endeavoring to get this done between now and next Thursday could be a bit of a challenge. And there is a one-week advance requirement for GNSO Council to look at resolutions. Right, Rosemary?
Eight days for resolutions, but I thought Liz was giving me an option that would fit this into another category and not require that eight-day window. Did I understand that right, Liz, or am I perhaps not?
I think the council can give you, you know, provisional encouragement to move forward on the work while the charter is
finalized.
I would suggest, Liz, we don't want to even seek that, but the board has made its request. We don't need to get council's and AC involved until we have a charter for them to literally vote on. And when
we
show that to them...
In this case, the GNSO Council has already directed staff to, you know, be assigned to this and Rosemary to, you know, or requested this continue. So I really think the charter is just to confirm that the scope that the group works under is consistent with what they envisioned.
Great. And so in thinking about that, I didn't want to suggest that we put in front of GNSO for next week a written charter, because putting a written charter in front of them next week would mean it had to be in tomorrow to meet the eight-day deadline, and it would make it look as GNSO was sort of driving this bus, and we do want it to seem as if this is GNSO, CCNSO, and ALAC working together.
Yeah. If I can just jump in there, I have been reaching out to CCNSO, and of course we've got ALAC definitely in our bus, which is great. And I've been keeping Stefan informed of that. So I don't think we've got risk, Steve, on this occasion. We've got this work listed as a GNSO pending project, and I update at every council meeting. And there is an understanding for a range of different reasons that this is not just GNSO. There's great clarity on the fact that advice has been sought from ACs and SOs, so I think we're okay on there. I'm actually prepared to have a go at putting a charter forward to the 21st of July GNSO meeting based on the board resolution and a simple outline of our suggested process. So I'll be able to write that up today and shoot that round to everyone in on the call to just see what the feedback is, and if we're okay, we're okay, and if not, then I guess we've got timely reminder that we need to do a bit more work before that charter goes to ALAC or CCNSO. But I'd have a go at sooner rather than later.
Go for it.
Okay. And Wendy's now suggesting that we meet twice a week. So.
Oh, no.
With a few snarks backwards and forwards, which I do understand, Wendy. anyway, so I think we've... back to our agenda. I'm comfortable now that I know what our next steps are. So that ought to be of great comfort to all of you. So, so I think... we've done kind of next steps, and we've done drafting team formation, discussion of whether a charter is needed. I'm not sure that we've gone anywhere near schedule for document preparation. Do we want to have a go at that, or will we just leave that until we get underway? Olivier, you're in the queue.
Thank you, Rosemary. Olivier, for the records. I was just going to say, I think we've got consensus on which direction we're going to go with regards to the charter, or a pretty broad idea of everyone looking forward to what we're going to get. I just think that we probably shouldn't wait for it to be all voted on from all sides of the planet before we get some real work done. And I was going to suggest that we also start getting things organized with regards to wikis and basically move on with the work. I don't expect anyone, at least on our side, and I gather everyone else on the call here, to suddenly object and want to do a complete U-turn on the direction we're taking. I wonder if everything's okay with everybody's okay with starting ASAP.
Well, I certainly am, Olivier. I feel very much that way, that we can continue, certainly, to the discussion we started in Singapore, where we were working on some definitions and measures. And since then, Wendy has actually sent in a document to give us other perspectives. So I agree we can get going on the discussion of the content now that we walk our way through these process issues. And I'm really hoping that this is the end of the discussion of the process issues and that we can just really dive into the content of what we all want to talk about. Just in terms of setting up resources for us, Margie, are you able to take Olivia's suggestion forward about establishing a wiki space for us to work in?
Yeah, that's great. I can certainly do that. And I'll send a link around to the list once we've got it set up.
Okie doke. All right. Now, I think we've got about 10 minutes left on this call. So do we want to actually have a go at some of the content? And if people are happy with that, I was wondering whether I could ask Wendy to just take us through the definitions that she offered in the last couple of days. And can we pull those up in the Adobe Connect room? So I guess that's a question perhaps to Gisela. Have we got those Wendy definitions?
Wendy, were these the ones you circulated on June 22nd?
No, more recent. Sorry, Wendy.
Slightly modified from the ones I sent on June.
Yeah.
I can forward it to the list now. Although if not everyone is in front of email, perhaps I'll just read them very quickly. I was suggesting that competition should be described by economic measures, including number of suppliers, market concentration, ease of entry, and whether pricing is close to marginal cost. Suggested that choice would be the ability of domain name registrants to select among diverse strings and competing registries to find products and services that meet their individual needs. Diversity might include jurisdiction, scripts, and policies. And trust, the stability and consistency of domain name resolution, such that unique identifiers work all the time and deliver consistent results when used. These are definitions that have been circulating among policy group at the non-commercial users constituency, and so far have agreement from a few people, from the few people who have commented.
Okay, so I think if we circulate those definitions, and then thanks, Cheryl. Then perhaps at our next call we could go back with we've now got business constituency material and NCUC material, just as two sets of guideposts, if you like. And then I thought at the next meeting perhaps we could go back to the discussion in Singapore, which Margie has summarised for us in the list of questions under the three topics. And, of course, this work is just focusing on the definitions. We've then got to get to the metrics. I've got Steve in the queue.
Hey, thanks. If there is time for substantive discussion, Wendy, I wanted to acknowledge that the definitions for competition and choice sound fine to me. They're very close, I think, to what the BC had proposed. With respect to trust, I would ask, so the only real difference between what I thought the BC threw up on the whiteboard in Singapore and what you've suggested is that in the definition of trust, you left it to security and stability, and the BC has suggested that since we are anticipating that new GTLD applicants, some of them will propose that their TLD will be all about tightly controlling who the registrants are in an effort to serve a community and in some cases to potentially solve a trust problem they perceive in the internet marketplace where .bank fits that bill. And when you're supposing that you're going to serve a particular linguistic or other cultural community, the element of trust comes down to whether the registry operator is going to stick to their promise of truly limiting registrants to those who fit the criteria they promised to fulfill and whether they police the space the way they promised to. And that becomes, if Michael Salazar is still on the call, I mean, that really becomes the contract compliance hook when it comes to trust in new GTLDs. I'm not saying that every new GTLD applicant has to propose to limit who can register a domain name. And they don't have to propose that they're going to police the space. Some of them are completely public, in which case this is not a relevant concept. All that's relevant for a completely public new GTLD are things like what did you call them? Security and stability. I'm all over that. But for any applicant who makes a statement and a promise about the nature of registrants they're going to permit, I believe that trust in the ICANN mechanism will be measured as to whether that registry lives up to their promise and whether ICANN holds the registry to its contract. And that's why I would seek an expanded definition for trust over what you just proposed. Thank you.
Wendy?
Thanks. I think that this is part of where we disagree on the role of ICANN and the regulatory ecosystem. I would say that if someone makes a public promise that they are going to limit registrations in some way and fails to live up to that, then a national regulator has a good claim against them for unfair and deceptive business practices. But I would not want to put ICANN in the role of enforcer precisely because the contracts that ICANN signs all have the no third-party beneficiary language in them, which forbids a consumer from putting trust in that contract and then using enforcement mechanisms to assure reliance interests. And so because ICANN sets itself up so as not to be a trust anchor for individuals in that setting, I think it wouldn't be right for ICANN to include that in its metrics.
Wendy, if I could follow up, I'm very confused. I'm not an attorney, but I had the impression that ICANN's regulatory mechanism is the contracts that it signs with contract parties, and that compliance was all about holding the contract parties to their code of conduct and to their contract. So isn't ICANN, and actually it's the board of ICANN who asked us for advice on these metrics, isn't it appropriate that ICANN's metrics include tight compliance for contract parties whose value proposition in the new GTLD plan includes promises made that affect the trust that one can have in the registry?
I think we will need...
This is Jonathan. I think part of it is there's two separate questions here. I mean, one is that there's a requirement that this new program engender trust, which is separate from trust being an explicit part of a contract or being a part of contract compliance, coming up with metrics to determine whether or not the program increased or decreased consumer trust in the domain name system is completely independent of whether or not they were an enforceable part of a contract. So they can be a part of the metrics for this exercise and have nothing to do with the individual contracts that are put in place, but simply become a method of evaluating whether the selection criteria was what it needed to be and whether the program itself succeeded in the objectives that were set up when it began.
Well, as Cheryl says, this I think needs a lot more talking, but I've got to say it's rather more interesting to be discussing this than the process matters that we've happily dealt with. I think we've got about 3 minutes to go, so if there are any last-minute thoughts, I think our next steps are to get the wiki established, get the materials that we've got up so far, put up the materials we've got so far, and then... probably between meetings, just agree what our agenda for the next meeting should be. And I suppose my own thoughts at the moment are that we continue on this topic of consumer trust, given that competition and consumer choice don't seem to be so problematic. Wendy, you've got your hand up in the queue?
I don't intend to.
No, okay, right. So are there any last-minute things that people would like to put forward at this stage? Okay, so I'm sorry to bring the discussion to a halt just when we were really getting going with it, but that's where we'll start next time. And I just wanted to let people know in response to an item in the chat earlier, I have actually been reaching out to GAC and CCNSO. I've not heard back yet, but I will keep trying to do that ahead of our next meeting, hoping that we've got some participation from those groups the next time around. Okay, I think if everyone's happy, pardon me, we'll leave this meeting here and reconvene in 2 weeks' time.
That's great. Thanks, Rosemary.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much.